Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
And if you will tonight, take your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we will begin reading with verse 10 tonight. Matthew chapter 5. And I will begin with verse 10. Tonight we're going to pick up three verses and we're going to finish with the Beatitudes. And next Sunday night we will move on with the Sermon on the Mount. But we'll continue on in more of a passage type message than we will individual scripture. Tonight will be a passage as well. 10, 11, and 12 will be our verses tonight as we close out the Beatitudes. And I'd like to just open while you're finding your place, just give you some thoughts on where we're going tonight. We're going to be looking at the challenges to the Christian life. And I say that in as polite of terms as I can think of, because actually the Scripture is going to call it persecution. And it is going to be persecution that we're going to look at. But we're going to see it in a 21st century perspective. It's going to be easy to look at, and we'll go into what Matthew was looking at and what Matthew saw when he wrote what Jesus said. But then we're also going to see how it applies today. How it applies in your life, in my life, and spiritually what it means for us when we face persecution as a Christian. And what is persecution? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what persecution is? What does the Bible mean when it says persecution? And probably if we went around the room and if we asked and if we talked, we would probably get several different perspectives on what it is. Well, we're going to take a look at it from God's Word tonight. And we're going to see how God defines it and how the Word of God looks at it and reveals it to us and how we need to be prepared to deal with it when it comes into our lives. So join me in God's Word, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Some very simple reading there. But Jesus opens up with a very interesting phrase that I want you to look at, a contrast between verse 10 and 11. He says in verse 10, blessed are they. And he says in verse 11, blessed are ye. Two pronouns, but one is plural and one is singular. The first one being plural, they, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They are persecuted, meaning that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be persecuted. And there's a lot of people that are going to be persecuted for a lot of different things. There's going to be people that are going to be persecuted because of their skin color. There's a lot of people that are going to be persecuted because of their nationality. There's a lot of people that are going to be persecuted for many different things. But Matthew goes on and he comes back behind persecuted and he adds for righteousness' sake. So he narrows that group down to God's children. So first of all, I ask, what does persecuted mean? It comes from a Greek word that means to make, to run or flee, or to drive away. In other words, it is hostilities. In the first century, during the time of Jesus and the early church, persecution was very ugly. Persecution was very bloody, very nasty. A lot of people died from persecution. The church, members of the church, the early church and the apostles and the disciples, they were beaten into bloody pulps, if I could say that word tonight. and they died from their injuries because of what they believed. Now, today in the 21st century, we want to think that we're more civilized than that. We want to think that today, well, as civilized as we are in the 21st century, no one is going to be beaten to the point where they die just because they read the Bible. Well, I don't want to bust your bubble tonight, but you're just about as wrong as you can be. Every day around the world, people are beaten like this because of what they believe in. As a matter of fact, there are instances where people have been tried and are in prison today because they have actually beaten Christians because of what they believe. There are pastors that have been shot and killed in the pulpit for preaching the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in late 2016 or early 2017, in Georgia, there was a pastor of a small church who was preaching one Sunday morning, and a man walked in the back door of the church, came up the center aisle about halfway, pulled a handgun out of his pocket, and shot the pastor dead behind the pulpit. During the investigation, he was asked, why did he want to do that? His answer was, I attended that church last week and he preached something I didn't like. Do not think that we live in a civilized age and we are so far above depravity that we will not react that way or we will not be victimized that way. Persecution is very real today. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of hostilities that are persecution that aren't tied to physical violence. The day and the age that we live in with technology like it is, people are hostile verbally one toward another. People are slanderous and gossips, and they go above and beyond to try to tear down and destroy someone behind their back or to do it publicly. Don't think that doesn't happen here in this little county, because I can tell you it does, because it has happened to me personally. It hasn't been that long ago that someone came to me at the local flea market and started saying, well, boy, you're a whole lot different than the stories I've heard about you. And I won't go on to any more detail about that. Folks, we live in a day and in an age where hostilities are running rampant. We live in a day and an age where you're just as apt to be persecuted for what you believe in, and you're just as apt to be persecuted in what you say and how you believe and everything as our earlier folks were centuries ago when Jesus walked this earth and when the church was actually being established. So that's a picture of what persecution is. But now, just because we're persecuted, just because someone has something bad to say about us, just because someone doesn't like us, just because someone goes out of their way to become hostile toward us, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have this thing of holiness and protection. Because like I said, Matthew continues on and he says it is for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness? You know, we learn from the Bible by asking the Bible questions. What is righteousness? We've heard about it. We've heard it preached probably our entire lives. We've heard it in Sunday school lessons and everything. But has it ever really been defined for you and explained to you what righteousness is? Well, according to the Greek word that righteousness interprets, it is a condition that is acceptable to God. In other words, it is about our justification. The Christian justification comes through Jesus Christ. There is no way that we can be righteous in our own standing. It doesn't matter how good you are, how moral you are. It doesn't matter how well-intended you are. It doesn't matter how polite or kind or generous you are. It doesn't matter how much you tithe or how little you tithe. It makes no difference. You cannot assume or find righteousness in God by any of that. It doesn't matter if you've attended church one day or 100 years. You're not going to impress God to the point of Him claiming that you're righteous. Righteousness comes by justification. We learn from the book of Hebrews that Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. We also learn that men like Enoch were considered righteous. We learn that Moses was considered righteous and Noah was considered righteous. And it was all because of their faith. You see, their righteousness came from faith. They were justified by faith. You and I have a justification tonight. If we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have a justification through Jesus Christ. So God sees us, if we are saved, truly born again, God sees us as righteous through Jesus Christ because of our faith in Him. If your faith tonight has you looking at Jesus Christ as the sole source of everything that you are, as everything that you can possibly be, that you are nothing without Him, then your faith is counted as righteousness or justification toward righteousness. So that means that Matthew is writing to you tonight. When he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake," he is talking about the children of God who are born again through the blood of Christ and are counted as righteous, and then they become persecuted because of that righteousness, because of your stand with God. That's why myself and others that are sound Bible preachers tonight, we say that the Word of God is inerrant and infallible and inspired, and it cannot be erred from, and it is absolute truth and authority. This is where my faith and my righteousness comes from tonight. It's where your faith and your righteousness comes from tonight. It's also where your persecution is going to be rooted in. Because I don't want to have anyone walking away with any type of a false sense of security tonight. There are no Christians that are above persecution. There are no Christians who are above persecution. As long as you stand and you give an account of yourself as being a born-again Christian, you are vulnerable to persecution. Someone can put a target on you. Someone can say, "I want to go after that person. I want to go after him. I want to go after her." It doesn't matter if you're a young person or if you're an old person. The devil and his people will come after you. Especially those who are outspoken with their faith. Now that makes some people want to say, "Well, I just won't say anything about my faith. It will just be personal between me and the Lord." Do you really believe that's possible? Do you really believe it's possible to keep your faith and your life and your love for Jesus Christ hidden? Jesus Himself says, "You cannot light a candle and put it under a basket." Why? Because the candle will burn its way through. You're not going to be able to cover light. You're not going to be able to handle light. You're either going to have to snuff it out or you're going to have to deal with seeing it. If you're saved, this is what I'm saying today. If you're saved and you're truly saved and you know it, your faith is going to show through your life because of your actions. You're not going to be able to, with a good, clear conscience, to join the folks that are gathered around in the crowds and they're telling the dirty jokes. You're not going to be able to be a part of that and it be obvious. You're not going to be able to be a part of the vulgar, foul language and it not bother you and it not show up in your life. You're not going to be able to be a part of the filth and the nastiness and the immoralities that are going around in the world with all of the sexual perversion that's out there. You're not going to be able to be a part of it. The Holy Spirit is not going to let you. Your countenance is going to show and it's going to tell on you because Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And just as sure as the Christian is going to pick that out, so will the devil's crowd. And then you will be persecuted. You may be laughed at. You may be scoffed. You may be made fun of. You may be mocked. It may be verbal and it may be those type of persecutions, or it may be actually more hostile. But do you know, whenever you're putting up with that for Jesus Christ, there are some words of God that are strengthening. In verse 10, for instance, Jesus finishes, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now that's not saying you're going to be immediately killed and taken into heaven. That's not what that's saying. It's a promise that gives you strength. It's a promise that gives you encouragement of knowing that God is on your side. That God has you and has a place secured and set aside for you. So that when these things start happening, you have actually got some justification. Instead of it bringing you down and discouraging you, it should be lifting you up. You should be able to sit there and say, "This is just some verification and some justification that I'm saved. Glory to God, I'm saved. The devil's picking on me and that gives me some justification that I'm doing something right." I've got the guarantees of God and the kingdom of God on my side and backing me. And then Jesus continues on in verse 11. He goes with, "Blessed are ye." He comes down to the individual pronoun, to that individual person. And he says, when you are persecuted, when you are reviled, and when they persecute you, they say all manner of evil against you falsely. So Jesus is wanting to talk to us individually. He's wanting to point out personally, when these things happen to you, not if they happen, but when they happen to you. And if you're a Christian and you're sound and you're true in your Christianity, they will happen to some level or another. To some people in the world, it happens, and it happens very hostile and very violent, and it means their life. To others, it happens much more subtly. To others, it is much more of a character assassination or a career assassination or something along those lines where they try to destroy you to keep you from advancing in a job or to keep you advancing through a career or to try to destroy your character to make you be quiet about a testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, blessed. It will make you joyful. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to feel, that doesn't mean you're going to feel happy or exuberant. You may not feel good about it when it's happening, but deep down inside of your heart, you're going to know that Jesus has your back. You're going to know that Jesus is right behind you and He's got the support and He is giving you the support to carry on and to move through life and to take these things that are happening to you and to use them as a way to build you up and to encourage you. I know I told you, I just kind of give you a little insight of one event that happened to me recently. But I learned a very tough lesson about this a long time ago when I first started preaching. When I first started preaching and folks started coming after me, and there's still people today that try to come after me, and they just seem to love to live in my past. I just as soon forget it and move on. But there's some people that just love to live there. I must have been a very interesting person in my younger days because there's some people that just want to continue to live there. And they want to continue to bring it up every time that there's an opportunity. Yes, but. And I let them have that, and I let them have their say. And the whole time they're talking, all I'm having to think of in my mind is, but God. In my mind and in my heart is going to but God. But God called me. But God sent Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring me around and to convict me. But God saved my soul. But God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But God had a use for me that the world wouldn't ever understand. But God has taken me and has allowed me to do something for Him that very few men ever get the privilege to do in this life. But God. And the whole time they're sitting there lifting themselves up, while they're trying to tear me down, God is sitting there reminding me of everything that He has done, and I'm praising Him all the time for it. So yes, it will come. If you're going to be bold in your walk with God, and if you're going to be the Christian that God wants you to be, and if you're going to be His servant and His child as He has called you to be, you will find these kind of people in your life. And when you find them, you can allow it to do one of two things to you. You can allow the worldly people who are so tied up in their own impressions and in their own glorification, you can allow them to tear you down to their level, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to use that as an encouragement in your heart and in your life to see exactly where God has brought you from, where God has put you to, and what He wants you to do in His life and through your life in order to present the gospel and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're all about. That's what the church is all about. It's all about the gospel. Nothing else matters. When it comes down to Jesus Christ and the work of the church, nothing else matters except the gospel. It's all about seeing people saved. It's all about telling people the truth as it comes from God's Word. Not my opinion, not my denomination, not some theologian's doctrinal position, but the inspired, infallible Word of God. That's where we stand. Now notice in verse 11, it does have a word there that we have to pay attention to. There is a verb there that is called, that is falsely. And that's a verb is an action word. If you don't remember that or aren't familiar with it tonight, it is an action word. So it's something that's brought against you falsely. That means it's something that you don't deserve. Now let me say this, if somebody's calling you out because you have failed spiritually, because you have something that's doctrinally unsound from God's Word going on in your life, then it's time to admit it, it's time to confess it, it's time to repent of it, it's time to put it under the blood of Christ, and it's time to move on. But if it's false, and again, God's Word is the determining factor there, not my opinion, not your opinion, but God's Word. If it is done falsely, and if it is done for Jesus' sake, that's a big point. You see, when they attack you, they should be attacking Jesus. When they attack you, they should be attacking Jesus. If they're not attacking Jesus, if they've got a good, valid point, then it's not done falsely, and it's something that needs to be addressed. If they are attacking you and they've got no claim to it and it is done falsely, then they're attacking Jesus. And that puts you in some very good company. That puts you in the company of Jesus Christ. After all, look real closely at His Passion Week. Look real closely at everything that happened from the time He was arrested till the time He said, made His last comment on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus never lifted a violent hand to no one. Jesus never tried to tried to defend himself, he could have called down 12 legions of angels from heaven. And a legion is, I think, 1,000. He could have called down 12,000 angels to have wiped out humanity on the face of the earth. But he didn't. He didn't. He put up with and he tolerated. He was roughhoused. He was hostile. He was persecuted. He done every bit of it for one reason, and that was to save people's souls, to redeem people's sin, so that you and I tonight could be saved. And if we're going to be saved by Him, and if we're going to be redeemed by Him, and if we're going to be born again by Him, and we're going to live for Him, then the same anger that was directed toward Him will be directed toward Him in your life, but it'll come through you. It'll be directed to you toward Him. You will be persecuted. Verse 12 gives us a closing that's a very happy closing, a very prosperous closing. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. So, what the Bible is telling us is that we're going to be mocked, we're going to be talked about, we're going to be slandered, or we're going to be dealt with all of these ugly and vile things, we're going to be made fun of. And I'm supposed to rejoice. The Bible doesn't say you're supposed to rejoice. The Bible says rejoice. If your heart is guiding you, and if the Holy Spirit is guiding you correctly and properly in your walk with God, it isn't a matter of choosing what will happen. It is a matter of it happening and you just accepting it. The Holy Spirit will lead you to rejoice. The Holy Spirit will lead you to be exceedingly glad. It's not a decision that you make. It is something that you submit to. It is a submission to the presence of the Holy Spirit living in your heart and in your life. And God deals with it through you. And it comes in the matter of rejoicing and being exceeding glad, because your reward is great and it is in heaven. We're told many times in Scripture that we are to reap up our rewards in heaven. We are not to put up and reap our rewards, and we're not to make our gains here on earth in a worldly fashion. It is to be a spiritual reward. It is to be a spiritual benefit, things that we're reaping in heaven, because those are the only things that are going to last. Everything that is put together on this earth is going to be destroyed. I mentioned that, I think, last Sunday morning in the message. It's all going to be destroyed. God's going to destroy this beautiful creation that He has made. Why? Because as beautiful as it is to us, it is tainted with sin in His eyes. And He's going to destroy it. All of the wealth, all of the prosperity, all of the influence, all of the prestige, all of that is going to be destroyed. But what is in heaven is going to last for an eternity. So your inheritance that you build, everything that you contribute, let it be contributed spiritually toward pointing people to Jesus Christ. Because it is those things, it is those experiences, it will be those things that will be mattering most. They will be there waiting on you. Accept the persecution when it comes your way. Accept it and let the Holy Spirit have you rejoicing and being exceedingly glad. Because here Jesus reminds us, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's nothing new. You're not being asked to do anything that those who lived before you have done. You can go back and you can read accounts of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you can see how those people lived. You can watch on certain television newscasts and certain things like that, and you can see how they how they are living and how things are being treated, people are being treated around the world. You can listen to testimonies of people and find out what's been going on in their life. It's been done. People have been persecuted before you and before me. And they have laid the groundwork for it. And guess what? There will be people, and Christians will be persecuted after we are gone. When our lives are ended and finished here, the next generation will be persecuted too. And it is important, folks, it is important that we understand and that we give an example and we set an example for the next generation to follow. If we're not bold and if we're not brave and if we don't stand up for Jesus Christ and we don't show them how important it is, what will the next generation of Christians do? Where will their strength come from? How will they perceive faith if they don't see it lived out in our lives? If they don't see an example, if they don't have it explained to them? Persecution is very meaningful in the church. As a matter of fact, if you go back through your Bible and you study it, you will see that every time the church has been persecuted, the church has had a growth boom. The church, every time the church has been persecuted, people have flocked to it. Because the true church refuses to back down. The true church stands for Jesus Christ. The true church says, I will not be quiet. I will not be silenced for my Lord. I will not. And people who are watching that, they're saying, there has to be something to this. I want to find out what it is. So they start coming to church. And then they come to Jesus. God allows persecution to grow His church. God allows persecution to grow His Christians. God allows persecution to cleanse us and to draw us closer to Him. So Christian, when it shows up in your life, welcome it. Be prepared to hurt. Be prepared to shed some tears. Be prepared to have some heartache. Be prepared to be hurt and to be strengthened. But be prepared to walk closer to God than you've ever walked in your life. Because that's where it will take you. That's where it will take you.